Hello, everybody. This is Scott Yates, Director of Communications and Producer Relations for the Washington Grain Commission, here with episode 173 of Wheat All About It, or what I'm calling More World Wheat O'Clock Report. Before we get to the news, a comment. In this topsy-turvy world we're living in right now, there may be no better way to unplug than by queuing up an episode of Wheat All About It to learn more about the myriad of ways wheat interacts with our lives, our bodies, our politics, our diets, our government, our... Well, you get the point. Wheat is the staff of life, after all. Scientists believe humans, who looked just like us, began gathering and eating the seeds out of the heads of wild wheat plants 20,000 years ago. An excavation of a site in Jordan found that our ancestors were eating flatbread made from precursors of wheat 14,000 years ago. And then, between 10,000 and 12,000 years ago, agriculture sprang up across the so-called Fertile Crescent of the Middle East, in countries with names that now conjure up war, oil, religious extremism, and antagonism to progress. It is ironic, of course, because farming is what has made progress possible. Present-day wheat farmers can trace their connection directly to those men and women 100 centuries ago who figured out that instead of simply gathering the seeds of wild plants, they could plant them, tame them, and turn them into what is modern wheat, a crop that continues to be the bedrock of diets around the world. I'm not a farmer, I'm a civilian, but I count myself lucky to have discovered this thing we call the grain chain. And I'm proud, in my supporting role, to have become part of the lineage of those who feed the planet. Farmers have done more to change the world with less gratitude than perhaps any other sector of society. It is truly remarkable, in this age when we have answers to almost everything, that we never think to ask, what is the most important industry in the world? No-brainer, agriculture. Now, on with the show. Longtime listeners know of my alter ego, the sonorous, handsome-sounding anchorman who sifts through dozens of periodicals, newspapers, and online sources to bring faithful podcast listeners the latest information about our favorite crop. The World Wheat O'Clock Report isn't your typical 6 o'clock news, but it is how I imagine the media might cover wheat, if there wasn't enough of it. Hello everyone, I'm Scott Yates with the World Wheat O'Clock Report. Here are today's headlines from the world of wheat. Gender gap narrows. Women are closing the agricultural gender gap, according to a survey that was part of the 2019 Women in Food and Agriculture Summit. The survey indicated that 97% of women are confident in their ability to positively impact the future of the industry, while 65% of the women surveyed felt their gender was well represented. However, when asked if women were respected in their organizations, only 32% of women agreed, versus 59% of men. Asian respondents were particularly likely to report women were well represented in leadership at 83%. On the question of harassment, fewer than 9% of men said they had witnessed such behavior, while 27% of women said they had witnessed or experienced harassment. Regulatory wheels grind slowly. In 2013, a team of Kenyan officials traveled to eastern Washington to evaluate whether to drop the country's quarantine against importing wheat from the Northwest due to flag smut, a disease which the introduction of the seed treatment Vitavax largely took care of when it was introduced in 1968. The team of three Kenyans met with Washington State University officials and, based on what they heard and observed, said they would go home to recommend establishing wheat trade with the region. And then nothing happened for 8 years. In late January 2020, however, the U.S. Department of Agriculture announced that all U.S. states and regions, including the Northwest, can ship wheat to the East African country. Kenyan's wheat market is valued at more than $500 million annually. The U.S. currently supplies about 5% of the market. The U.S. is currently in talks to secure a free trade deal with Kenya. Tim Murray, extension plant pathologist at WSU, helped organize and lead the Kenyan team in 2013. He is pleased the quarantine of Northwest wheat is in the rearview mirror, but he never suspected it would take so long to overturn the prohibition. Quote, regulatory issues like flag smut lend themselves to bureaucracy in lots of countries because we're dealing with laws and regulations that are sometimes interpreted narrowly and used as trade barriers, he said, end quote. On the other hand, flag smut can be devastating when it's bad, and that reputation is well known among regulatory officials in other countries too. Even the U.S. is not immune. There was an outbreak of the disease in Kansas in 2015, which was attributed to a relatively low percentage of seed receiving fungicide treatment. But while the disease continues to make headlines from time to time, it is not a major problem anywhere in the world, especially not in the Northwest, which treats 90% of its planted seed with today's modern seed treatments. Older tractors in demand. When it comes to equipment purchases, most farmers perceive newer as better, but there is a subset of individuals who actually seek out older tractors. Why? Because they don't have computers riding shotgun. Today's new equipment all comes with computers, and the computers often come with digital rights management software that can make even simple repairs a costly affair. Which is why older model workhorse tractors are selling for tens of thousands of dollars. Consider the price tag for a 1979 John Deere tractor model, $61,000. While that's much cheaper than a modern tractor, which can run more than $150,000, what many farmers like about the old technology is that it saves them money in the long run. Every tractor manufacturer has prohibitions about farmers messing with their computers, but there is an effort afoot called Right to Repair that argues owners should have the right to repair their own equipment, whether it be a tractor or an iPhone. Elizabeth Warren had a plank in her failed presidential bid calling for a national law that empowers farmers to repair their equipment without going to an authorized agent. Various state legislatures across the U.S. are being targeted to pass Right to Repair legislation. Computers have made farm equipment more efficient, and altering software is not a good idea. On the other hand, according to Deere's regulatory filings, parts and service are 3 to 6 times more profitable than sales of original equipment. Getting in hot water. The world's oceans are heating up, according to a new study that found 2019 ocean heat content was the hottest on record, with 2018 in second place and 2017 in third. Published in the journal Advances in Atmospheric Sciences, the study is bookended by news that Earth's surface temperatures in 2019 were the second hottest on record. It's estimated that since the middle of the last century, oceans have absorbed 93% of the excess heat caused by greenhouse gases from human activities, shielding the land from the worst effects. Although surface temperatures have been tracked for more than a century, ocean records are spottier. A network of 3,000 ocean buoys was established in 2007. Before that, temperatures were taken from the sides of ships. Scientists believe they have an accurate representation of ocean temperatures going back to 1958. Rising temperatures impact ocean life, which would include Columbia Snake River salmon that spend the majority of their lives in the Pacific Ocean. Splatometer doesn't lie. Insects are seen by most people as nuisances, but they are, according to one scientist, absolutely fundamental to food webs and the existence of life on Earth. Paul Tinsley Marshall of the Kent Wildlife Trust said the decline of insects noted in several recent studies is horrendous. One study in the United Kingdom county of Kent examined splats in a grid placed over license plates, known as the splatometer. The study revealed 50% fewer insect impacts in 2019 than in 2004. Another study in rural Denmark used data collected from 1997 to 2017 and found an 80% decline in abundance. There was a corresponding decline in the number of swallows and martins, birds that live on insects. And now a word from our sponsor.
Washington State Governor Jay Inslee issued an executive order which has deemed the Washington Grain Commission and the farmers it serves as part of the state's essential infrastructure workforce during the corona pandemic. This order, which includes other firms supporting food, feed, and beverage distribution efforts across the state, is a reflection of how important agriculture is during times of turmoil. Wheat farmers are rarely held out as an essential part of the infrastructure that keeps society functioning, but make no mistake, they are. Wheat-based foods comprise 20% of the calories consumed around the world, and even more than that for the poorest of the poor. Agriculture is indisputably the most important industry on the planet. Globally, the International Grains Council is forecasting wheat production for the 2020-2021 marketing year at 769 million metric tons, an increase of 5 million metric tons over the 2019-2020 time period. India is expected to harvest its largest crop ever. Worldwide, 546 million acres are expected to be harvested. Eastern Washington comprises 2.2 million acres of that total, a figure that rarely budges owing to the particularly salubrious climate for the flagship soft white wheat crop growing in the region. Overall, wheat acreage in the U.S. is slated to fall to the lowest level since the government began keeping numbers in 1919. The forecast for planted acreage stands at 45 million acres, down nearly 160,000 acres from 2019, and a new record low. Winter wheat plantings at 31 million acres are the second smallest on record.
And now back to the show. Crumbling infrastructure. Just 19% of the country's population lives in rural areas, but those areas have 68% of the total lane and road miles, according to the U.S. Department of Transportation. The normal span of an asphalt road is 30 years. Today, a legally loaded semi-trailer truck can create 5,000 to 10,000 times the road damage of one car, leading to emergency closures, road restrictions, and weight limits. Paved roads are expensive, with reconstruction costing upwards of $300,000 a mile. Chip sealing comes in at around $17,000 a mile. As a result, some counties around the U.S. are considering turning their paved roads back into gravel. Bayer seeks Roundup truce. The cynic may suggest Bayer's agreement to enter into talks to resolve lawsuits over glyphosate, the weed-killing ingredient in Roundup, could be compared to giving up the battle. Bayer's chief executive had earlier said he was going to fight through the courts to prove the ingredient's safety. But the German-based company is now in a deal with plaintiffs' attorneys that would pay around $10 billion for current and future plaintiffs who say Roundup caused their cancer. The negotiations, however, have pleased investors, and the company's shares are up roughly 50% since they hit a 7-year low of 52 euros last June. Bayer acquired Monsanto in 2018 and immediately stepped into a legal morass, but the change in strategy has brought stability. Now Bayer's CEO, Werner Baumann, needs to prove the Monsanto acquisition was worth its $63 billion price tag. The right biome makes a difference. There is still much to learn about the gut microbiome, but we do know that a lot about our body's function depends on these microorganisms that exist in our intestines. New research is showing that the amount of good bacteria versus bad can impact everything from obesity, diabetes, liver disease, cancer, heart health, neurodegenerative disease, even mood. A recent study of 612 people aged 65 to 79 across 5 countries published in the journal Gut suggests that the Mediterranean diet may help curb the advances of physical frailty and cognitive decline in older age. The diet is rich in whole grains, go wheat, fruits, vegetables, nuts, legumes, olive oils, and fish.
The study found after a year on the diet, there was an increase in bacteria linked to signs of reduced frailty, such as walking speed and hand grip, and improved memory, a reduced production of harmful inflammatory chemicals, and a reduction in bacteria associated with bowel cancer, insulin resistance, fatty liver, and cell damage. To learn more about the microbiome, listen to episode 154 of the Wheat All About It podcast entitled Gut Check, How Bread Boosts the Microbiome. Find it on the Washington Grain Commission website, click on summaries, and navigate back into time. Pesticide pushers. Contraband pesticides are a growing problem in both developing and developed countries, growing into one of the world's most lucrative and least understood criminal enterprises. In Brazil last October, a shipment of 12,000 pounds of powerful insecticide with a street value of $2 million was found in the back of a truck. The pesticide was produced in China, then smuggled across the Paraguay border. It was twice as strong as what's allowed in Brazil. It's believed that 10% of the world's agrochemical trade is illegal, an estimate that has doubled since 2007. In Brazil, smuggled pesticides are estimated to be 20%. It's gotten so bad that gangs have been raiding farms for pesticides, holding families as they make off with the loot. Elsewhere, small operators are making their own pesticide concoctions and selling them online. If they're caught, a maximum sentence is 4 years, far less than the sentence for trafficking drugs. And now, another word from our sponsor. In the Midwest, farmers are committing suicide at an alarming rate. Nearly 500 farmers took their lives across 9 Midwestern states from 2014 to 2018, ranking farmers among the most likely to die by suicide in the U.S. as compared to other occupations. Years of low prices, poor weather, and record debt have led to many of the suicides. But it's never one thing. For an individual suffering from ongoing stress and depression, financial problems may be the last straw, because for most farmers, the farm is more than a business, it is a legacy. There is help. A national suicide hotline has certified listeners ready to talk. Call 1-800-273-8255. There's also a crisis line text service. Dial 741741 and text hello. It's free and confidential. There are many agricultural trends that travel to the Northwest from the Midwest. Let's not let suicide be one of them. Suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary situation. If you or any of your loved ones need help, please call 1-800-273-8255 or text hello to 741741 to seek help. And now back to the show. Fattening the curve. A team of medical scientists has projected that by 2030, nearly 1 in 2 adults in the U.S. will be obese, and nearly 1 in 4 will be severely obese. That is, 100 pounds over their ideal weight. In many states, the prevalence of obesity will exceed 50%. No state will have less than 35% of residents who are obese. The study predicted that severe obesity will become the most common weight category for women, non-Hispanic black adults, and low-income adults. Americans weren't always this fat. Since 1990, the prevalence of obesity has doubled. What is needed, the researchers say, is not a piecemeal fix like taxing sugary drinks, but changing America's ubiquitous food environment. And don't blame genetics. Human genetics haven't changed. It's ready access to cheap, processed food, as well as regular snacking that has. Changes in the food environment are needed at every age. Although children aren't born obese, excessive weight gain can be seen as early as 2 years of age. Zap that weed. Prototype robotic weeding devices are investigating different approaches to weed control, with some using high voltage to electrocute weeds, called by the bot's manufacturer, Electrocide. So-called agribots are coming, though exactly when they will arrive in large numbers is still in doubt. With advances in artificial intelligence and computer vision, it is becoming easier for the bots to determine a weed from a cultivated plant. Weed zappers are only one part of the coming evolution. Driverless tractors and other farm automation is expected to grow at around 23% a year and will be worth more than $20 billion by 2025. That's all for this edition of the World Weed O'Clock Report. Until next time, I'm Scott Yates. And I'm back. That is the Scott Yates, who is Director of Communications and Producer Relations for the Washington Grain Commission, alter ego of the dashing World Weed O'Clock Report news anchor. I hope you've enjoyed episode 173, the recurring feature called the World Weed O'Clock Report. Please join me here again next week for another episode of Weed All About It!